Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide, the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Tuesday, the 28th of February, 2023, along with Mr. Aaron Zomers on the board, our producer engineer. Happy to be along with you on this last day of February. Can't believe it. I should have asked Kara. Maybe I'll ask her tomorrow. The old adage, you know, if March comes in like a lamb, it goes out like a lion and vice versa. So we'll see.
Well, you know what else they say.
What else do they say?
February showers bring a lot of ice and sadness.
I never heard that one.
Me either.
But that was a good makeup on the fly, Mr. Zomers. Yeah. Well, we're almost out of February now. So on to March, the transitional month, usually. Some windy skies, a kite or two, perhaps. Always kite season, get towards the end of March. And we'll see. And the old groundhog said we're going to have six more weeks of winter. So that kind of bodes for a more wintry March. Some marches have been very, very warm. But apparently it looks like a slightly cooler March ahead. But we'll take it. We'll take it. We're moving in the right direction. Weather from the National Weather Service at this hour from WRCE in Richland Center. Looks like a great day there. Increasing clouds, though, in the afternoon. Still sunny skies most of the day in Richland Center. A high of 43 degrees. Then for tonight, some light rain and snow likely. Less than a half inch possible of accumulation. Just some icing here and there. A low of 31 degrees. Then for tomorrow, Wednesday, decreasing clouds and a high of 45 degrees tomorrow. 45 tomorrow in Richland Center. That's pertinent near 50. 5 degrees away from 50 right there. Up in Wausau, WXCO Bull Falls Radio today. Look for sunny skies as well. A high of 35 degrees. Then for tonight, some snow and possibly a little bit of ice comes in. Less than an inch of accumulation possible, all said and done. A low tonight of 24 in Wausau. Tomorrow, Wednesday, a wintry mix. Some slickery conditions, a high near 34 degrees. Some rain, snow, and ice. Looks like about an inch of accumulation total possible tomorrow in Wausau. Over in WLAK, Lake Air Radio in Amory, Wisconsin. Increasing clouds tomorrow, a high of 33 degrees. Increasing clouds today. And a high of 33. Then for tonight, looks like a 90% chance of snow, a low of 25 degrees, up to maybe 3 to 4 inches of snow in Amory for tonight. Tomorrow, Wednesday, snow continues, another inch or two possible. Kara Foster say look for accumulations of around 5 inches in Amory for tonight. And then for Wednesday, snow, and then a chance of cloudy skies in the afternoon, a high of 32. Again, when all said and done, look around 5 inches of snow in Amory between tonight and tomorrow. 9 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock. Time to take a look at some quick headlines, news you need to know on this 28th of February. Student loan debt. The Supreme Court will take up two challenges today concerning President Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness program, with a decision expected by late June or early July. The initiative, aimed at providing targeted debt relief to millions of student loan borrowers, has so far been stalled by legal challenges. Republican-led states and conservatives opposing the program say it amounts to an unlawful attempt to erase an estimated $430 billion of federal student loan debt under the guise of the pandemic. The case being heard today will ultimately provide a guidance on payments that have been paused since 2020 and interest in an accrual on student loans. Ukraine, a surprise visit to Kyiv on Monday. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen met with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky to reaffirm U.S. economic support and to announce the recent transfer of $1.25 billion in assistance. Addressing the Russian economy, which is not buckled under an array of sanctions from the U.S. and other Western countries, Yellen said she expects it to grow weaker as the country loses foreign investment and runs through its reserves. Storms, nearly 50 million people across the Northeast in the United States are under winter weather alerts today as a storm that brought tornadoes and damaging winds to the central U.S. sweeps into the region. Boston and New York City are on track for their biggest snow events of an unusually warm winter, with 4 to 6 inches of snow and ice expected in New York City. It's a small world after all, as Ron DeSantis wants to make it smaller in Florida. The governor of Florida signed a bill yesterday that gives him the new power over the Walt Disney Company in Walt Disney World, effectively punishing the entertainment giant for speaking out against the Republicans' political agenda. The new law amounts to a state takeover of the Reedy Creek Improvement District, the government body that has given Disney unique powers in Central Florida for more than half a century. In the wake of a mass protest in Mexico City over the weekend, Mexico's president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, dismissed concerns about his plan to shrink the country's electoral watchdog and accused protesters of having links to drug traffickers. Many protests held up signs that read "Hands off the INE," referencing the National Electoral Institute, which oversees elections and has been accused of partisanship by the Mexican president. And if you liked Avatar: The Way of the Water, it made billions in the theaters. I haven't seen it yet, but heard it was a great show. Surprise, surprise, is not at the top of the list as far as expected to win the Academy Awards this year for Best Picture. But we shall see. It's that time of year. It's awards season. Always enjoy a good award show. And I believe Jimmy Kimmel is back hosting this year. They will have a host for the first time in several years of the pandemic. They went without a host, and then they went without a host again. Ratings went down. They're bringing Jimmy Kimmel back. We'll be back as well. Talk about more about this Rupert Murdoch story. Easy for me to say with Fox after this, the Todd Lyle Show.
Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy. Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry.
Welcome back to the Todd Lyle Ball Show. It is now 9:15 on a Tuesday, the 28th of February, 2023. A little John Denver there for you. You know who loves John Denver is our colleague Phil Nee's wife, June, the lovely and talented June Nee. Years and years and years ago, I'm talking 20 years plus ago, Phil got tickets because he interviewed John Denver, I believe, and got tickets for us to. We went down to the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee, and we saw he and June and I, and we saw John Denver live in Milwaukee. Great show. John Denver, his voice was a little not quite all there that night. Not sure if he had a cold, but still a fantastic show.
That's really cool. Yeah,
it was, and it was months. I don't even think it was a year after that. That he passed away tragically in that ultralight plane out in California. So saw one of his last shows, thanks to Phil Nee. But yeah, you play that song for June Nee today, still, you know, you get a smile on her face and a tear in her eye. It's a great, great song. And sunshine, as it turns out, is usually the best medicine for cover-ups and for falsehoods. You got to bring some truth and sunshine to these stories. And that's what the New York Times did. And that's what you continue to do today. If you want to call in and join us, give us your opinion on this story in the New York Times on Rupert Murdoch, under oath now, revealing that Fox News knew that what Donald Trump was peddling in 2020 was a lie, but still they perpetuated and told it anyway. If you want to call in and join the program, please do so. Welcome your calls. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. Because to me, the story here, the big story really isn't that, you know, Dominion is suing Fox for falsehoods. No surprise there. The big news is that when put under oath and forced to tell the truth under the law, Fox News has revealed what many people have suspected for a long time, that they knew this was all a lie.
They know there's evidence.
Sure, they know there's evidence. But yet they continue to perpetuate the lie anyway and to tell it on the air because they don't want their ratings to go down. To Aaron's point earlier, many of Trump's followers don't want to hear the truth. It's like you say, well, look out the sky. The sky is blue. Don't tell me that. It's green. I mean, that's the mentality of some of these folks. And if you try to tell them the truth, they'll turn it off and turn it away because they don't want to ever challenge their own beliefs or what they believe is true. And Fox News is smart enough to know this. So they didn't want, in some of these depositions and texts, you have anchors like Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson saying, you know, look, we don't want people telling the truth here, basically. We're going to lose ratings. That means they lose money. Give us a call. Join the conversation. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Back to this story a little bit now in the New York Times. The new documents and a similar batch released this month provide a dramatic account from inside the Fox network depicting a frantic scramble as Fox tried to woo back its large conservative audience after ratings collapsed in the wake of Mr. Trump's loss. Fox had been the first network to call Arizona for Joseph R. Biden on election night. Remember that? It's a big deal. One of the things that I've often said, I've maintained to be true, for all the cover-ups and lies that Fox News likes to tell and dish out, the one area of their corporation that has remained pretty pure and respected and accurate is both their polling and their election night calling, because it's a slightly separate entity. So they called the election night. They were the first network to call Arizona for Biden, essentially giving folks a pretty good clue that Biden was going to win this election. Back to the story. That call, essentially, as I just said, declared Biden the next president. When Mr. Trump refused to concede and started attacking Fox as disloyal and dishonest, viewers began to change the channel. The filings also revealed that top executives and on-air hosts had reacted with incredulous, bordering on contempt to various fictitious allegations about Dominion. These included unsubstantiated rumors repeatedly uttered by guests and Fox hosts on Fox programs that its voting machines, Dominion's, could run a secret algorithm that switched votes from one candidate to another, and that the company was founded in Venezuela to help that country's longtime leader, Hugo Chavez, fix elections. Of course, that was also proven completely untrue. Despite those misgivings, little changed about the content on shows like Mr. Dobbs' show. For weeks after the election, viewers of Fox and Fox Business heard a far different story from the one that Fox executives privately conceded was real. Lawyers for Fox News, which filed a response to Dominion in court on Monday, argued that its commentary and reporting after the election did not amount to defamation because its hosts had not endorsed the falsehood about Dominion. Even if Mr. Murdoch stated otherwise in his deposition. As Fox, the network's lawyers, argued, Fox's coverage was protected under the First Amendment. So you see, this is why they're trying not to lose $1.5 billion here. All right, so the attorneys are kind of skewing things to save them this money they're being sued for by Dominion. But yet Murdoch, in the same deposition, has said, no, it was true. That our anchors knew this, and they kept saying it anyway. Murdoch says it's true. The attorneys for Fox say, no. I mean, our anchors didn't say that. We had guests come on and say that, but our anchors never endorsed that. Quote, far from reporting the allegation as true, hosts informed their audiences at every turn that the allegations were just allegations that would need to be proven in court in short order if they are going to impact the outcome of the election, Fox lawyers said in their filing. And to the extent some hosts commented on the allegations, that commentary is independently protected opinion. So again, what they're trying to do is say this is editorializing that's protected under the law. And Dominion and their attorneys have to prove that, no, the Fox News Corporation as a whole knew that these were lies and still perpetuated and told them otherwise. A Fox News spokesman said on Monday in response to the filing that Dominion's case, quote, has always been more about that will, always been about the will to generate headlines than can withstand legal scrutiny. In certain instances, Fox hosts did present the allegations as unproven and offer their opinion. And Fox lawyers have pointed to exchanges on the air when hosts challenged the claims and pressed Mr. Trump's lawyer, Sidney Powell, and Rudolph Giuliani to present evidence that never materialized. But the case is also likely to revolve around questions about what people with power to shape Fox's on-air content knew about the validity of the fraud charges as they gave pro-Trump election deniers a platform, often in front of hosts who mustered no pushback. Quote, there appears to be a pretty good argument that Fox endorsed the accuracy of what was being said, said Lee Levine, a veteran First Amendment lawyer who has defended major media organizations in defamation cases. He added that Fox's arguments were stronger against some of Dominion's claims than others. But based on what he has seen of the cases so far, Mr. Levine said, I'd much rather be in Dominion's shoes than in Fox's right now. So here's where it gets even a little bit more interesting and even more local to Wisconsin. The document also described how Paul D. Ryan, a former Republican of the House and current member of the Fox Corporation Board of Directors, said in his deposition that he, Paul Ryan, had implored Mr. Murdoch and his son, Lachlan, the chief executive officer, quote, that Fox News should not be spreading conspiracy theories, unquote. Mr. Ryan suggested instead that the network pivot and move on, quote, move on from Donald Trump and stop spouting election lies, unquote. So here we have 2 days in a row now, quotes from Paul Ryan on this show, one from over the weekend on the WISN show up front in Milwaukee, in which he said he would not, Paul Ryan would not be attending the 2024 Republican National Convention in Milwaukee if Donald Trump was the nominee. Said, quote, I have no interest in that. And the reporter said, even if it's in Wisconsin. Paul Ryan said, even if it's in Wisconsin. Paul Ryan making it pretty clear that he doesn't want anything to do with this guy, Trump. And now it comes out under oath, and Paul Ryan, as we've said before, is a smart cookie. One of the smartest policy people around. Paul Ryan said under oath that he told Murdoch that Fox News should not be spreading conspiracy theories. And Ryan said under oath to Murdoch during this whole thing in 2020, said the network should pivot and, quote, move on from Donald Trump and stop spouting election lies. Very interesting, isn't it? Very interesting to hear Paul Ryan or have it revealed what he was saying. He may be on the Fox Board of Directors, but apparently, under oath, he says he told him the truth.
I find it very sad that something like this makes me want to cheer for Paul Ryan. Just because he's not straight up advocating for horrible lies and horrible people.
But I think you may raise an important point. I mean, I'm not here to defend every you know, misgiving or political sin that Paul Ryan has committed. And I said yesterday, I certainly would have liked Speaker Ryan to have been stronger during the Trump presidency. I also think there's some validity, maybe not as much as they like to claim, but I think there are people like Paul Ryan and others who are in positions of power, because we've seen this come out right during the January 6th committee hearing, when some of Trump's former chiefs of staff, General Kelly amongst them, Joint Chiefs of Staff Milley, also said the things that they were doing behind the scenes to prevent a national disaster or a war were incredible. So you know, we'll take it for what it is. What I do know is what's come out now under oath. And that is Paul Ryan saying that he told Fox News, quit spreading the lies. Don't do it. So, hey, at least somebody with an R behind their name is still calling it like they see it. We'll come back, take more of your calls, and talk a little bit more about this from Wisconsin perspective. After this, this is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show is now at 9:33. Have you been to Disney World? Have you gone through the exhibit?
I have not, but I feel like if I had, I maybe would not choose to play this song voluntarily.
It was my grandma Allball's favorite exhibit at Disney World. You get in this boat and you go through this whole thing. It's an exhibit kind of, you know, inside, and all these different countries. And they keep playing this, but it's this, I don't know, I can't remember how long the ride is, maybe 10 minutes, you know, and it keeps playing that song over, it's a small world after, and then it goes through different languages, and it's cute, like the first time, but then after that, it's like,
working there has got to be the worst.
Oh, I can't imagine. My sister and brother-in-law worked at Disney for a summer before they had kids, because he had, my brother-in-law Mike had worked there in college. And so they met, they got engaged, and they went down to Florida and worked there for a summer before they had kids. And they were the Buzz Lightyear ride in the Tomorrowland area. Very cool ride. But yeah, I can't imagine spending an entire shift helping people get on and off the boats, hearing that song play nonstop. And it would have to be triggering, right? Like when you heard it like that, it'd be triggering.
I've seen some posts online from people who are like, "Yeah, I worked in the restaurant by there, or one of the restaurants that had this song playing all day, and I did not have that position very long."
They go through people, big turnover. Well, it is a small world. Welcome back to the show. It is a small world because, a young guy from, well, I think he's young because he's like my age, but a younger-ish guy like Paul Ryan from Wisconsin ends up in the New York Times, ends up on the board at Fox News, and under deposition says he told Rupert Murdoch, the head of Fox News, to quit spreading the lies. Just told him, quit spreading the lies. Actually, he called them quit spreading conspiracy theories. That's the direct quote. And to move on from Donald Trump and stop spouting election lies. That's what he said. Stop spouting election lies, which is a lie. So there you have it. At least evidence that Paul Ryan's been consistent in that sense. He's still taking the Fox News money, of course, on the Fox board. But he's at least on the record as saying that these are election lies. And so you're asking, you know, Todd, why are you going through this? We get it. Okay, Fox News told this lie. Why is it such a big deal? Here's why. Here's why it matters to people at Richland Center and Amory and Wausau and everywhere else in between. Because it's our job to dig down and tell you what really happened here. Because this whole incident of the 2020 election and Fox News being the main media outlet that spread these lies, along with Trump and his people, and otherwise good, unsuspecting folks have believed it. And it is one of the key things that has helped divide our country. And it has eaten away at people's faith in free and fair elections. And here's the thing, folks. If we cannot believe that our elections are free and fair and accurate, it undermines everything else that we're trying to do. And I'm not just talking about the presidential election. I'm talking about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court election. I'm talking about your local legislative election. I'm talking about your local town board and school board election. Because it's the same folks that are running those elections that are running the presidential elections. That's why I always find so baffling about the Republican position on this. Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu and Howard Markline and others. They can question and bring up, you know, well, this was, you know, a fraud. We can't be sure that the 2020 election was fair and accurate. But the Republicans still won the majority in the state assembly, still won the majority in the state Senate. Are those elections fraudulent too then, guys? Also, a quick aside about state Senator Markline. When he first got elected in 2014, 2 years later, he went to the National Republican Convention. 2016, the convention that nominated Donald Trump. And he came back to Wisconsin and he bragged about how he had gone to the national convention. And Dale Schultz, his predecessor, he'd never gone to a national convention. But by golly, Howard Markline, he'd gone to a national Republican convention where they nominated Donald J. Trump for president. I wonder if old Howie is going to go down to the Milwaukee Republican National Convention. Give us a call, Howard. Happy to put you on the air, give you as long as you want. Area code 715-388-7155 is the number. Maybe a staffer is listening, who knows? Give us a call, 715-388-7155. Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House, Congressman from Wisconsin, former, has said he will not be going to the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee next year if Donald Trump is the nominee. Were you Howard Markline, Senator? Are you going to go to the National Convention in Milwaukee again, brag about it, re-nominate your boy? How about now U.S. Congressman Scott Fitzgerald? All through the 2020 election, reporters would say, then the state senator, are you still on the Trump train? Because in 2016, that was Fitz's little motto. I'm on the Trump train. Who are you supporting, Senator? I'm on the Trump train. Congressman Scott Fitzgerald, are you still on the Trump train? Would you be going to Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention next year if Donald Trump is the nominee? Because Paul Ryan's not. He's made that clear. I'm just curious. I think voters are entitled to know. Are there state representatives, state senators, congresspeople? Are they going to the Republican National Convention if Donald Trump is the nominee? Paul Ryan has said he will not. And according to this New York Times story this morning, under deposition, he told Fox News, as a member of the board, told the chairman, Robert Murdoch, to stop spouting election lies. Moving on with the story, there was some discussion at the highest levels of the company about how to make that pivot, Dominion said. On January 5th, 2021, the day before the attack at the Capitol, Mr. Murdoch and Susan Scott, the chief creative of Fox News Media, talked about whether Mr. Hannity and his fellow primetime hosts, Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham, should make it clear to viewers that Mr. Biden had won the election. Mr. Murdoch said in his deposition that he had hoped such a statement, quote, would go a long way to stop the Trump myth that the election was stolen. Let me read that to you again. For those who watch Fox News, for those whose parents or grandparents or brothers or sisters or coworkers are always telling you how Fox News is the only one that's accurate and true and fair and balanced. This is the chairman, the head of the company that owns Fox News, said that he hoped that a statement decrying the election would be said. Mr. Murdoch said, this is the head of Fox News, said, quote, it would go a long way to stop the Trump myth that the election was stolen, unquote. The Trump myth. You get that? They knew. They all knew that Donald Trump was a liar that what he was saying was a lie. They knew the election was not, repeat, not stolen. This is what the head of Fox News has said under oath. The myth that the election was stolen. According to the filing, Ms. Scott said of the host, quote, privately, they are all there. But we need to be careful about using the shows and ticking off. She didn't say ticking. Ticking off the viewers. No statement of that kind was made on the air. So again, under oath. Top media person in Fox said privately they're all there. Meaning the hosts. They're all there. But we need to be careful about using the shows and ticking off the viewers. Do you understand? Fox News is an entertainment venue. They're there to entertain and excite you. And to get ratings, which gets advertisers, which gets them money. That's their whole ticket, you guys. That's their whole game. And I understand how people sitting out in rural Wisconsin, they love the pageant. I've said this show. I love pageantry, right? Pomp and circumstance. Fox News is great at it. They like to feel that someone's listening to them because so often our politicians of both the left and the right are not. I get that. It's hard to be sitting out in Soldiers Grove or Richland Center or Lone Rock or Merrill, Wisconsin, or Amory or Rice Lake. And you're sitting there and you think that nobody cares about you. They're all talking about climate change and LGBTQ and taking away my guns. And not that those issues don't matter. But you're thinking to yourself, why isn't someone talking about my issue? And you turn on Hannity and Carlson, and you feel like, hey, they get me. And I'm sorry to break this news to you, because it doesn't give me any great pleasure. The news is they don't care about you. The news is they don't care about you. And I know that's tough to take. Believe me, I get it. They're there for the money and the ratings. And they will tell you anything that will get you and convince you that they care about you in order to get your eyeballs and your viewership and your ratings so they get their money. That's the bottom line, you guys. And we need to remember that as we move forward into these next elections. Fox News doesn't have your back. And now here it's been made clear that they don't. It gets even worse. Dominion details the close relationship that Fox hosts and executives enjoyed with senior Republican Party officials and members of the Trump inner circle, revealing how at times Fox was shaping the very story it was covering. It describes how Mr. Murdoch placed a call to the Republican leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, immediately after the election. In his deposition, Mr. Murdoch testified that during that call, he likely urged Mr. McConnell to ask other, quote, to ask other senior Republicans to refuse to endorse Mr. Trump's conspiracy theories and baseless claims of fraud. Murdoch urged McConnell to say, quit saying this stuff. Dominion also describes how Mr. Murdoch provided Mr. Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, Jared Kushner, with confidential information about ads that the Biden campaign would be running on Fox. At one point, Dominion's lawyers accused Ms. Pirro, who hosted a Saturday evening talk show, of laundering her own conspiracy theories through Powell. You understand? I mean, all these accusations by Trump that somehow, you know, the Biden people are getting inside information here under deposition, sworn oath. Fox is giving Jared Kushner Biden's ads before anybody else would see them. So they have the ability to come back on him. It's all a lie, you guys. It's all one big lie. Our friend Rick Wilson of the Lincoln Project put it this way. They knew Trump lost. They knew there was not then, nor is there now, a scintilla of fraud. They knew and lied over and over and over. They chose guests they knew were lying. They fed and fed the beast. Back after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. Show. It is now 9:50 on the time and temperature sign. Glad to have you along with us on a Tuesday, the 28th of February, 2023. Mr. Zomer is on the board, myself here on the mic. Happy to have you along with us. And interesting story on Fox News. And the bottom line is, to button it up, be careful what you watch and listen to and read. And again, the great danger here, the great harm that Fox has brought upon this country. It's not just an election, which is bad enough, but it's whittled away at what we as Americans feel about democracy and how much we can trust our electoral system. And let me tell you, our democracy, our system of electing people is healthy and robust. Great book called The Big Truth by Major Garrett of CBS News, and a co-author of his went through and outlined this in great detail. We'd love to have him on sometime. Called The Big Truth, proving that our elections in 2020 were some of the most fair, free, and accurate ever. So don't let people tell you that the 2020 election was rigged or a lie or fraudulent. As Paul Ryan has said 1,000 times of 2020, Joe Biden won the election, Donald Trump lost the election. It's as simple as that. And now from this New York Times story, we are seeing under oath Fox News executives admitting just that, admitting that they knew and still perpetrated the lie. Moving on this morning, an article in WisPolitics. On the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, already the most expensive in U.S. history. Want to take a minute to talk about this. I started talking about it, well, not really this, but talked about the race in general. This is not over, folks, this race for Supreme Court. I talked to a lot of, one of the cool parts about this job is I talked to a lot of people. Some people call me, text me, whatever. I hear from a lot of folks. I love it. And so I don't want to belie anybody's trust or misgivings. But I was talking to someone yesterday, actually a couple of people, and this is the deal. Apparently the fundraising for Janet Protasiewicz, while it's still good, is not as robust as they might have thought. And part of what's driving the lack of fundraising for Judge Janet is Democrats and progressives think this thing is in the bag. They look at how well she did on election night, and they're having trouble raising the funds they thought that they might because everybody is overconfident.
We haven't won. We've just gotten to a place where it is possible to win.
Yes. And let me tell you, this thing is far from over. You have no idea the negative ads, the mailers, the digital that is about to hit this state in favor of Dan Kelly. You think that Republicans are just going to roll over and put everything they've worked for the last 13 years in jeopardy? Because if Judge Janet gets on the court and it's a 4-3 progressive majority, that means lawsuits can be brought to overturn or change Act 10. It means that there can be lawsuits brought to change the 1849 archaic law that that bans abortion in all cases for women in this state, including rape and incest. It means that court cases can be brought to the Wisconsin Supreme Court that would challenge and potentially overturn the gerrymandered maps that Republicans put in place in 2020 after the census, so 2021 after the census of 2020. It means Republicans would have a harder time maintaining their grip on the legislature. You think that conservatives, Republicans, are just going to go, well, okay, fine, we'll let Judge Janet have it? Heck no, they're not. There is so much coming, you guys. This is going to be one of the nastiest, ugliest races we've ever seen. And I hate every minute of that. But it doesn't mean we can't participate. We just stay on the sideline. We can't just say that this thing is in the bag. If you care about good, clean, fair government, if you care about a justice who will apply the law evenly, then you have to get out and vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz on April 4th. And if you're able, write a check. Put up a yard sign. Go door to door. This thing ain't over. And to prove it, a story today in the wispolitics.com. Wisconsin State Supreme Court race has already become the most expensive in United States history. Not Wisconsin, United States history. With a group backing conservative Daniel Kelly going up its first post-primary buy with liberal Janet Protasiewicz's campaign dramatically upping its spending. The campaign of Protasiewicz, who placed first in a four-way primary February 21st, told Wispolitics last week it was reserving more than $2 million through the April 4th election. Monday, the campaign said it had now reserved more than $6.5 million on broadcast, cable, and satellite TV. Hey, Judge Protasiewicz's campaign. Wake up there, baby. How about radio? How about local radio where people get their local news? See, this is the problem when you have 20-year-olds running. Why don't we go ask United States Senator Tommy George Thompson how well things run out, how well things happen when you cede your campaign to 20-year-olds in Arlington, Virginia. Oh, wait. Tommy Thompson's not a U.S. senator because he lost to Tammy Baldwin. Because he ceded what had always been wonderful grassroots Wisconsin-based campaigning to a bunch of 20-year-old boys out in Arlington, goose steppers, mega people, who said, oh, no, Governor, that's not the way we run campaigns anymore. Here's how you have to run it. And he got his rear end handed to him by a great campaign by Tammy Baldwin. I've seen this movie. I know how it ends. That's fine, Janet Protasiewicz's campaign. Buy broadcast cable and satellite TV. But how about radio? How about local newspapers? Yes, they still exist. That drives me crazy. That buy on top of the $1.25 million in paid media, Protasiewicz's campaign said she spent ahead of the primary. Meanwhile, Fair Courts America, which spent nearly $2.4 million supporting Kelly ahead of the primary, is going on the air as well. Two sources said the initial buy is $1 million starting tomorrow. The money is coming. The negative ads are coming. Get on board with Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Get on board with Hour 3 of the Todd Allball Show after this. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.